In 18th century Russia, a remarkable partnership reshaped the map of Europe and established Russia as a great power. The relationship between Empress Catherine the Great and Grigory Alexandrovich Potemkin transcended conventional categories. They were lovers, intellectual companions, and political partners who together transformed Russia's destiny. Their letters, filled with pet names like Golden Cockerel and Twin Soul, reveal a partnership that was simultaneously romantic and geopolitical. What makes their story so compelling is how it reveals a deeply human tale behind monumental historical events. In an age where political partnerships are carefully managed public relations exercises, the raw passion and strategic brilliance of Catherine and Potemkin's relationship feels almost mythological, yet it forever changed the course of Russian history. Born in 1739 in the village of Chizovo near Smolensk, Potemkin rose from relatively modest noble origins through a combination of intelligence, charisma, and calculated risk-taking. After his father's early death, his mother moved the family to Moscow, where young Grigory thrived academically, displaying remarkable aptitude for languages, theology, and classical studies. What distinguished Potemkin was his extraordinary ability to connect with people across social strata. He was equally comfortable dancing with peasants or debating with scholars, a chameleon-like quality that would serve him well at court. In early 1774, Potemkin, despite his military acclaim, orchestrated a calculated retreat to the Alexander Nevsky Monastery, feigning monastic intentions. This theatrical strategy forced Catherine's attention. She would either summon him back or let him fade into obscurity. At the monastery, he cultivated the image of a man torn between worldly and spiritual pursuits. The strategy succeeded perfectly. Catherine, both concerned and intrigued, sent messengers to investigate, leading to an exchange of passionate letters. By February, Potemkin had returned to court, swiftly displacing her previous favorite. Within months, he accumulated prestigious titles: General Adjutant, Imperial Council Member, and Count of the Russian Empire. Catherine and Potemkin's relationship evolved beyond romance into a powerful partnership. Their correspondence merged passionate sentiments with strategic statecraft. Though their romantic relationship was brief, their political alliance endured. By 1776, while Catherine took younger lovers, often hand-picked by Potemkin himself, he remained her most trusted advisor. As he noted, "Our souls are married forever, even as circumstances require other arrangements." By 1783, Potemkin had turned his attention to the newly acquired territories along the Black Sea coast, lands he viewed as the cornerstone of Russia's imperial future. The annexation of Crimea, then called Taurida, marked a turning point in his career. Catherine recognized his special connection to the region by granting him the title Prince of Taurida and extraordinary powers to develop these territories. "The South will be Russia's gateway to the world," Potemkin declared, launching simultaneous projects across the vast territory. The city of Kherson rose as a shipbuilding center and commercial port. Sevastopol followed as a naval base, with natural advantages that Potemkin immediately recognized. Most ambitious was Yekaterinoslav, literally Catherine's Glory, intended as the southern capital of the empire and planned on a monumental scale. Potemkin's approach to colonizing these territories was remarkably progressive for its time. He offered religious tolerance to old believers, Jews, and Muslims, provided generous land grants to attract settlers, and developed innovative agricultural techniques suited to the steppe environment. Under his direction, vineyards were planted in Crimea, silk production was established, and experimental farms tested new crops. By 1787, when Catherine undertook her famous journey to inspect the southern provinces, Potemkin had achieved remarkable results. The French ambassador wrote, "In 4 years, Prince Potemkin has done what would require 20 years in any other country." The infamous Potemkin villages, alleged facade settlements built to deceive Catherine during her 1787 tour, remain the most controversial aspect of Potemkin's legacy. While popular legend claims he constructed portable villages that were repeatedly dismantled and rebuilt ahead of the Imperial Party, historical evidence tells a different story. Though Potemkin did engage in impression management through village beautification and orchestrated celebrations, the accusation of entirely fake settlements is largely unfounded. The cities Catherine visited were genuine, and the agricultural colonies and military establishments she inspected remained operational long after her visit. The myth's persistence stems partly from its kernel of truth, Potemkin's flair for spectacle, but more significantly from its political utility. Domestic rivals used it to undermine his influence, while European powers cited it to dismiss Russian expansion as mere facade. Ironically, this focus on alleged deception obscured Potemkin's genuine achievement, transforming a sparse frontier into a developing region with thriving cities, naval bases, and settlements in less than a decade. Potemkin embodied extraordinary contradictions, physically imposing with penetrating eyes, even after losing one in a court brawl, he maintained a magnetic charisma few could resist. His daily routine defied convention, often receiving important visitors while still in bed or bathing, making a ceremony of informality that emphasized his secure position. His intellectual capacity was remarkable, fluent in multiple languages, discussing orthodox theology one moment and military tactics the next. Yet this erudition coexisted with earthy humor that shocked refined courtiers. Subject to dramatic mood swings, he could move from exuberant creativity to profound melancholy within hours, writing once, "My soul is like the Black Sea, sometimes calm and reflecting heaven's light, sometimes lashed by storms no sailor can navigate." His appetites were legendary for food, wine, women, and material splendor. He collected diamonds with passionate intensity, often carrying loose gems in his pockets to handle when anxious. Yet alongside these indulgences existed genuine religious devotion. Potemkin regularly attended Orthodox services, fasted during prescribed periods, and engaged in theological discussions with leading churchmen. Perhaps most revealing was his relationship with money. Though accumulating enormous wealth through Catherine's generosity, he spent lavishly and often gave away fortunes on impulse. This combination of acquisitiveness and generosity reflected his fundamental approach to life, experiencing everything to the fullest while sharing his good fortune with others. Potemkin's death in 1791 devastated Catherine, who mourned him as "my pupil, my friend, almost my idol." His tangible legacy lives on in the major cities he founded along the Black Sea: Sevastopol, Kherson, Nikolaev, Ekaterinoslav, and Odessa, as well as the naval fleet he established and the multi-ethnic communities he developed across southern Russia and Ukraine. His most lasting impact was establishing Russia's ambition as a Black Sea power with claims to the Byzantine inheritance. This Greek project shaped Russian foreign policy for generations, influencing conflicts from the Crimean War through modern times. For contemporary Russia, Potemkin's legacy resonates particularly in territories like Crimea and southern Ukraine. Yet his most enduring contribution may be demonstrating how absolute monarchy could accommodate genuine partnership, exemplified by Catherine's words: "We are bound not by laws or ceremonies, but by something rarer and more precious, a perfect understanding of each other's minds."